This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So first I want to say thank you to Ken, who read probably the longest text in the entire lectionary. So well done, Ken. Last week, Bob had all the tricky names from Acts, and this week, Ken got the long, long-winded one. So, thank you. Today, we hear the very first chapter of the Bible, our text from Genesis. These verses give us the most beautiful, awe-inspiring creation. So, I'm going to go through some of those things that God creates in these 6 days. And as I do, I invite you to close your eyes and try to imagine what it is like when God creates this universe. Imagine all of these things just springing into being, the works of God's hands, as God builds this creation, this world. So I invite you to close your eyes and just try to imagine a small glimpse of what God does. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light." And light was. God called the light day and the darkness night. And God saw that it was good. On the second day, God separated the waters of the heavens and the waters of the earth with a great expanse. And God called the expanse sky. And God saw that it was good. On the third day, God called the waters of the earth together, gathering them into one body. And God called it sea. And at the same time, God commanded dry ground to appear, calling it earth. And God saw that it was good. Then God filled the land and the sea with life, plants and trees, seeds, fruits of every color, shape, and size. They grew and they flourished. And God saw that it was good. On the fourth day, God put lights in the sky to give light to the day and light to the night, sun and moon and stars. And God saw that it was good. On the fifth day, God created the birds of the air and the creatures of the sea, great sea monsters, and all sorts of swimming creatures with which the waters are filled, and all kinds of birds. And God saw that it was good. On the sixth day, God created the land animals, wild animals and cattle, and everything that crawls on the ground. And God created human beings. At the end of the sixth day, God looked at all of this creation and proclaimed that it was good. Very good. You can open your eyes. I hope that as you listened, you could imagine just a small glimpse of the majesty of God's creation. Full of beauty, full of diversity, full of life. Creation is truly awe-inspiring. When asked where people find it easiest to experience God, to experience holiness, many people respond, creation. When they are at the beach and they just gaze out at the expanse of the ocean and they see where sky meets water, God is there. When people are in the mountains and they feel that forest around them, or they climb to the highest peak and they look out at the expanse of the world, God is there. Even when we are in the park and we climb onto the branches of that oak tree, God is there. When asked where most people experience God, so many people say it is in creation. At the beach, in the mountains, in the park, or even just gazing at the starry sky at night. I think many people feel in creation like John Muir did. In some of his reflections, he wrote the following. A few minutes ago, every tree was excited, bowing to the roaring storm, waving, swirling, tossing their branches in glorious enthusiasm, like worship. But though to the outer ear, these trees are now silent, their songs never cease. Every hidden cell is throbbing with music and life. Every fiber thrilling like harp strings, while incense is ever flowing from the balsam bells and leaves. No wonder the hills and groves were God's first temples. Creation is a place where so many people find God. For it is filled with God's majesty. It truly is the work of God's hands. And this creation has been entrusted to us. After God creates humankind, God blesses us and then gives us our very first command. Bear fruit, increase your numbers and fill the earth, and be responsible for it. Watch over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things on earth. God's very first command, recorded in this first chapter of the Bible, is to take care of the earth and the creatures who call it home. Fortunately, this is a commandment that we as humankind have not followed very well. We have killed countless species, and we've even killed other human beings who are a part of creation, created on the very same day that the rest of the land animals were created. We've cut down forests and polluted the waters and the sky. Gosh, we have created so much light pollution that we can barely even see the stars. We have done irreversible damage to creation and have done little to nothing to stopping climate change. It does make me wonder if we are worthy of the crown of glory and honor that our psalm speaks of. How can we be when we have failed to live up to the responsibility that God gave us, to care for the works of God's hands. After he reflected on God's presence in the hills and the groves, Amir wrote this: "The more they are cut down and hewn into cathedrals and churches, the farther off and dimmer seems the Lord." So many of us find God in creation, and many people find God in creation far before they find God in the building of a church. It's undeniable that God is present in creation. So my siblings, today, as we hear this first commandment from God, the care for creation, I invite you to renew your commitment to obeying this command. Consider how you will care for creation. And the little things, like recycling properly and reducing your waste, and in the big things, like considering how our public policies affect creation, sometimes in harmful ways, and sometimes in ways that can protect it. Consider how you will obey the very first command that God ever gave to us. For following this command is a matter of discipleship. In Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples to go out and make new disciples, people like all of us. And then Matthew explains to us that making disciples means teaching people to obey everything Jesus, who is God, has commanded. If we want to be disciples, we obey God's commands. It's really as simple as that. Well, the first command that God ever gave us was to take care of creation. And while the state of our climate right now might make following this commandment feel like an insurmountable task, I do not believe that it is. For when Jesus teaches us what discipleship means, he immediately follows this with this promise: "And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." No matter how hard the task before us might be, whether it is climate change or all of the other tasks that God gives us as God's special creation, no matter how hard the task might be, Jesus promises to be with us. These are the very last words Jesus speaks in Matthew's gospel. And the first words that God speaks in the Bible are also words of enduring presence. God handcrafted every part of creation, saw that it was good, blessed it. God was present from the very beginning, and God will be present to the very end. Alpha and Omega. And in every command that we strive to follow, we as disciples experience just a little bit more clearly the justice of God's world. So my siblings, go be disciples, obeying everything God has commanded. And remember, Christ is with you always to the end of the age. Amen.